Well, good morning. It's good to be back with you all again, and we have another chance to come back to these precious promises of God that we've been looking at over the course of these weeks together. And yesterday morning, we got to hear two promises from two different passages in one devotion, so that's quite a bargain you got yesterday. And I want to just remind you that God's promise for us yesterday was that you are a masterpiece of His grace. From Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says that you are God's workmanship. We said that word in Greek is poema, from which we get a work of art or poetry or a poem. That God is standing over the slab of marble of your life, and He envisions something majestic and beautiful and of great use, and He is fashioning and shaping and molding and calling that into existence from your life so that you can be a living and breathing display of His power and His care and His imaginative love that sketched out your life before the foundation of the world. We also saw that God isn't just the one who starts a project and becomes disinterested or is distracted or somehow loses pleasure in you, but He's the one who also promises us finishing grace. And we saw that from Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, that He says, "If I began a good work in you, I will carry it on to completion." In other words, He patiently and deliberately and with confidence and skill and joy and delight finishes what He starts. He brings that good work to completion. And so when you feel the sharp edge of the chisel of God's work in your life, or the hammer blow upon your heart, or the shaping knife of His care, that's not a sign of His displeasure. That's a sign of His work, that process that He's bringing to completion. Well, this morning I want to take us to two more passages and two more promises. And the first one is from Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. And this is from the lips of Jesus. And He says, "Blessed are all who hunger and thirst, for they shall be satisfied." And also from Jesus' lips in John chapter 6, verse 35, He says, "I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never be thirsty." I'll go ahead and confess to you guys this morning that my family and I have several kind of guilty TV pleasures that we indulge in quite often. We are quite big fans of that little show called Cake Boss. Anyone like that, Cake Boss? Yeah. DVR'd right now, episode upon episode, when we return to our home, we're going to feast on those. We also are pretty big fans of Say Yes to the Dress. North Carolina Weekend. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. It's a PBS show. You guys probably don't watch that one. But then the one that kind of tops it off, the piece of the resistance that we always enjoy, well, at least I enjoy and Sam and Mary Gray enjoy, I don't know if my wife enjoys it so much, is the one called Man vs. Food. Has anyone ever seen this show? Yeah. Adam Richman, this pretty otherwise normal-looking guy, travels the country to do these extreme eating contests. Like, he'll go to Amarillo, Texas, to this place called the Big Texan, and he will sit down at a table, and he has 1 hour to eat a 72-ounce steak. That's 6 pounds of meat, a baked potato, a shrimp cocktail, a salad, and two dinner rolls. And if he does it in under an hour, he doesn't have to pay for it. And he did it. He did it. One of our other favorite episodes is the one when he goes to Little Rock, Arkansas, and he goes to this barbecue restaurant, and he has to eat this barbecue sandwich, this pulled pork sandwich, which is pretty, you know, innocuous in and of itself, but it is covered with what they called shut-up juice. You guys might remember this one, which was made from the hottest habanero peppers, and literally they're showing the people making it. They're wearing these gas masks and rubber gloves and basically hazmat suits so they don't get stung by it, and he has to consume all of that. But what always gets me about Man vs. Food, in the intro leading up to the show, he describes it as his ultimate hunger quest. And when you see him feasting or trying to shove all this food down his throat in a space of a limited amount of time, the thought going through my head is not, this guy's really hungry, he's got a big appetite. But no, he's doing it for something other than hunger, right? Maybe hunger isn't the best motivation for doing that. There's something else going on. I've been quite fascinated by, the IFOCE is the International Federation of Competitive Eaters. And they're the ones that sponsor the Crystal Square Off in my hometown of Chattanooga, Tennessee, in which you have 8 minutes to eat as many Crystal hamburgers as you can. This guy named Joey Chestnut, back in 2007, set the world record. He ate 103 Crystal hamburgers in 8 minutes. Crazy, right? So we have all this culture of food and competitive eating, and it's just everywhere you look. And then we come to these promises of God from this passage that talk about if you're hungry and thirsty, you'll be filled. If you come to me as the bread of life, you'll never go hungry, you'll never be thirsty. And I think those images are just lost on me. They're lost on us, right? Because we don't live in that culture in which real physical hunger exists. You know, in Jesus' time, you were lucky if you got one good meal a day. And you're probably really, really lucky if you got meat or some sort of protein one time a week. And so when Jesus says hunger and thirst, physical hunger, that kind of washes over us in the land of plenty, in the land of, if anything, too much food, right? Where we do competitive eating. But as I listen to you, and as I listen to my own life, what I hear time and time again is that you really are hungry for something. As I've met with you in your cabins, in the Shepherd's Gazebo at rest time, and I've talked to you individually, what I hear you saying is, I'm hungry for fellowship. I'm hungry to know that God's promises are going to be true for me, not just here at Greystone, where it feels like it's a slam dunk, but when I go home to my lack of fellowship there. And I'm hungry for change. I want different relationships. I feel like I'm stuck in these patterns of friendship and sin at school. And I just want to get out. I want to break free from that. I'm hungry for something different. I'm hungry for the way it's supposed to be, the righteousness that God's going to bring across this world. You know what his promise is for us this morning? He promises that if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, if you hunger and thirst for the way that it's supposed to be, the way that it is, that kind of small taste of heaven that we get here at Greystone, he says, you will be satisfied. And he says, if you come to him as the bread of life, you will never go hungry. You will never thirst again. In other words, he says, you are seated at the banquet of God's exquisite grace. That he serves up this sustaining bread of life on silver platters. His limitless love, his endless patience, his care for those who believe in him and trust in him. And so the question we got to ask ourselves this morning is, when that plate comes by, when you're seated at that table, do you turn up your nose and say, I'm fine, thank you. I'm just not that hungry. Or, I'm really hungry, but I'm not hungry for that. I don't think that's going to sustain me. What keeps us from feasting on the bread of life so often is that we tell ourselves those lies that we're really just not that hungry. And yet you are so desperately hungry. You tell me, you cry those tears of hunger, you want that change. Or we say, you know what, I'm hungry, but I don't think that's going to fill me up. Why do we not feast? What keeps us from feasting? I think we don't feast so many times on the bread of life is because we live pretty good lives. We have an upside. We have potential. We're going places. We're getting educated. We have a future ahead of us. And yet, at the same time, underneath those upside of that bright future, there's a deep and desperate hunger that rages in all of our hearts. And that's why you stand at the door of your closet like I do sometimes, and you look into this closet full of clothes, enough clothes that could probably clothe a third world city very well, and you say, I just have nothing to wear. Right? I'm just sick of my clothes. Or you go to the cabinet and you open up and it's just packed, jam-packed, stuffed with food. And you say, there's just nothing to eat. So you close the cabinet, you go and open up the refrigerator, stuffed with food. And you say, nothing to eat in here. So you go back to the cabinet because something has changed in the 3 seconds between you looking in the refrigerator. Nothing to eat. You go back to the refrigerator. There's just nothing to eat. Or you sit in a room full of people that are just in the same situation as you are, and you say, there's just no one I can be friends with. There's just no one who really gets me. You turn up your nose at God's provision right under your face. Or we go to iTunes. We go to the internet. We go to Netflix. We go to TV, and we say, there's just nothing to watch. There's nothing to listen to. I'm just bored in this culture of entertainment. Or we go to shop, and we say, I'm just tired of the frittles. I'm tired of the frilky way. I'm tired of the frit-frat, right? I just want something else. Maybe I'll try the Skittles instead of the frit. And there's just nothing to offer here. The reason why we don't feast is because we take all these appetite suppressants all the time. Another Diet Coke. Another pair of shoes. A cute outfit is what's going to fill me up. A vacation. a boyfriend, a leadership position, another Bible study. Yes, if I just fill my life with spiritual activities, then maybe I won't have to face the deep hunger. We try to cram every square inch of our lives with something other than God, and we wonder why we're not satisfied. We wonder why we say, oh, there's just nothing to eat. Well, the promise from these passages is God satisfies. He promises that you're desperately hungry, and that's not a problem. He can meet you at the point of that need and fill you up. The question is, are you going to turn up your nose at God's provision? Are you going to look at that silver platter of limitless love and endless grace and deep provision and say, I'm just not that hungry, or I'm not hungry for that? I love what G.K. Chesterton says. He says, Christianity has not been tried and found lacking, but it's found difficult and left untried. In other words, we say, I just don't like this bread that much. It's kind of hard to eat. It kind of gets stuck in my throat. It doesn't taste as good as I want it to, and we don't get the sustenance of it. I love what Charles Spurgeon says. He says, if only Christ were a cistern, in other words, this big container of water, we might soon exhaust his fullness. But he says, who can drain a fountain? He says, thousands upon thousands of people have drawn their supplies from him, and not one has ever murmured at the scantiness of his resources. You have a question to answer today. Are you hungry? Yes, you're hungry. The question is, will you find your satisfaction in the promises of God? Or will you just keep taking those appetite suppressants? Will you keep be trying to satisfied with the approximations, the things that were never supposed to fill you up all the way? Good things, but never meant to fill you up all the way. Are you far too easily pleased with the half measures? Or do you want to come to the full banquet of God's resources for you? Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. If you feast on me, you'll never be hungry. He says, if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you will be satisfied with the richest of foods, the banquet of God's grace. That's his promise for us today. Will you be hungry enough and thirsty enough to close your mouth down upon it, take it into your system, and then live off of it, be nourished by it? Let me pray for us as we go. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are so honest about our need. You're much more honest than we are at times. And we pray that that honesty about our hunger and the honesty about the resources that will actually satisfy it will lift up our heads to see what's right in front of our face, that you care for us so well, so much better than we deserve. Lord, help us to have open mouths that can close down on the solid food of your grace and to be nourished by it. Thank you so much for loving us and providing for us. We pray it in your name. Amen.